We're going to get into God's Word. We're going to be camping for a number of weeks around about this Scripture in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. We're going to be preaching through it and allowing it to form our thoughts. But on this day, Valentine's Day, it seems really appropriate to talk about devotion. You know, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer. On Valentine's Day, we think about devotion. Now, I don't know what devotion looks like in your circumstances and in your surroundings. I don't know what the word devotion conjures up in your head. For the guys, it may be you creeping downstairs this morning and making that lovely cooked breakfast as an act of devotion and then sitting and eating it so that your wife doesn't have to get up and make you breakfast. That's devotion, isn't it, guys? You're just too scared to nod your heads, men. What? I'm too scared to go home now and look my wife in the eye. She made me breakfast yesterday, which was lovely. I offered to make her breakfast this morning. She said no. Clearly what my hands are like and my ability to make breakfast, that's it. Maybe it's 5 more minutes in bed was what she was looking for. What words spring to mind when you think about devote and devotion? I've got to be honest, for me, the first thing that springs to my head, and I don't know what it says about me, is that I can hear Olivia Newton-John in Greece singing Hopelessly Devoted to You. Now, I apologize in advance, because for the rest of the day, you guys aren't going to be able to get that out of your head. Singing about that soppy, kind of hidden love to John Travolta. Maybe it's something deeper. For lots of people in Edinburgh, there is a little statue at the top of George IV Bridge that sums up what devotion is about. Little statue of a little Skye Terrier that we would know as Greyfriars Bobby. That speaks of the story of this little dog in 19th century Edinburgh who, after his master died, guarded his master's grave in the Greyfriars Kirkyard that was there. Perhaps symbolising those qualities of staying put, of not giving up, of enduring, those kind of qualities that become key to us of being able to get a little handle on what it is to be devoted. Now, I've also heard it said and seen it written in a book that the definition of devotion is holding the handkerchief to allow the other half to blow their nose while their hands are in the sink doing the dishes. That's devotion. I know. Clearly, it's not to be sniffed at. Paul writes to the church at Colossae, and he encourages them to devote themselves to prayer. Stay with me, it will get better. Now, when he says, devote yourselves to prayer, he's meaning more than I love God and God loves me. As great as that is, as essential and as foundational as that fact and that truth is to all that we can understand about God, I love God and that God loves me. You know, it's often been said that the message of the Father Heart of God isn't the book on a bookcase, but is the bookcase itself. That God loves us, that God is with us, and that God is for us. But it is also the continuing in prayer, the consistency in prayer, and encountering Christ in prayer that really gives devote a richer meaning. Here are some of the other translations of devote in Bible commentaries. The New King James Version says, continue earnestly. The Message says, pray diligently. The Living Bible says, don't be weary in prayer. The J.B. Phillips translation says, always maintain the habit of prayer. The Good News Version says, be persistent in prayer. The Expanded Version says, continue praying. The Amplified Version says, be persistent and devoted to prayer. The American Standard Version says, continue steadfastly. The Darby Version says, persevere in prayer. I don't know if you're getting it yet, but it is something about not giving up, not letting go, continuing, and just not being kind of some kind of devotion, devoting to prayer as being some kind of ethereal, kind of lovey-dovey, kind of out there, and dependent on how you're feeling. There is something deep, there is something rugged, there is something about holding on in prayer that Paul wants to encourage the church to do. He encourages them then, and he encourages them now. You know, in the church at Colossae, they would have been going through a number of things. They would have been struggling with a lot of different kind of issues to us, but the same kind of things that come up and flag up in society and in human nature, things that would want to take them away from following God. Things that would want to take them away from knowing and experiencing God's plans, God's perspective and God's thinking, God's thoughts into their situations. And Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer. Which maybe means there might have been things that they're maybe not devoting themselves to prayer, not spending that time in prayer. The American author Dutch Sheets, in his book Intercessory Prayer, says that stubbornness or persistence is one of the most important spiritual attributes of the Christian life. Is there any, or are there any stubborn people in here today? There are wives that are nudging their husbands. Stubborn people. You know, you can make great prayers. Great prayer warriors, because you can hold on. You can be passionate. You can be persistent. Not just stubborn in life, but stubborn in prayer. Holding on to God. Digging deep in the things of God and saying, God, I'm going to hold on to you. God, I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to keep asking you. I'm going to keep reminding you of some things in prayer. Our problem is that we want things with an immediacy. We want things with a now. And also Dutch Sheets in the book also says, we're into microwaving, but God is into marinating. You know, where you have a lovely piece of meat that you just let sit in the sauce before it goes in the oven. You know, prepare it the night before so that the flavors can be, you know, can be just coming out of it as it cooks. And God's into marinating when it comes to things like prayer. And we want that now. We want that immediacy. We want that quickness. And sometimes, you know, that also microwaving of our answers to prayer. We kind of put it in the machine, wait for it to ping, and then we get that answer to prayer. And sometimes we need to dig in. Sometimes we need to persevere. Sometimes we need to not be weary in prayer. Sometimes we need to pray diligently. Sometimes we need to continue steadfastly. Sometimes we just need to be devoted to prayer. Because in prayer, we meet God. But who knows that when we pray, we get the benefits of it? Yeah, wakey, 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 come on. Yeah. We get the benefits of it. You know, God invites us into a prayer relationship with Him, not for His benefit, but for our benefit, and perhaps even for the benefits of those that we would pray for. There is a need for us to hold on to God in prayer. Scripture says it's those who wait upon the Lord that will renew their strength. If you feel tired, if you feel weary, then maybe waiting on the Lord in prayer is where you find that refreshing, where you find that strength, where you find those moments where God comes and almost breathes new life into your faith, into your life, into your relationships. And if Paul encourages us, if we take it up, if we can get this attitude right in prayer, both in patience and in persistence, then we can begin to pray with confidence, because we know that God is good. We can begin to pray out of that bedrock of foundation of God's love, because we know that He's for us. We can pray with an authority when we come and when we have that revelation, that encounter with Jesus, because we pray in the name of Jesus and we discover what that means. And we can receive His answers in His time to our situations and to the situations that we bring before Him in His way. Because remember, His ways aren't our ways. He does things which are higher. My ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. And as we persist in prayer, as we're devoted to prayer, God invites us to come up to that higher place of thinking in prayer, that higher place of God's thoughts. Receive them in our heart, holding on for God's answer. It was John Wesley that said, God does nothing on earth save an answer to believe in prayer. The God who can do anything that He wants at any time, and He conforms Himself. He allows Himself to be moved by the prayers, by the lips, by the hearts of men and women like you and I. As we pray according to His will. So we're to be devoted to prayer. What does devotion look like? Well, devotion is choosing one thing over another. So I wonder this morning, What will you choose prayer over? You know, if devotion is the main thing that you're devoted to is the main thing, what will you choose prayer over this morning? Devotion is practicing and going the extra mile. What will you go the extra mile for in prayer? What's your "that's not right" thing? You know, when you see something, when you hear something, when something occurs and there's just something inside you that's like, "that's not right." Or sorry, if you come from the East Coast, "that's not right, eh?" You know that thing that just gets you? That's not a sense of injustice, sense of, "no, something's got to be done about that. Something's, there's got to be a different thing that happens. That's not right." What's your "that's not right" thing in God? Something that's maybe happening in the world, something that's maybe happening to somebody that you know, that you care for, that all of a sudden you're like, "I'm going to go the extra mile in prayer for, because I'm devoted to prayer. I'm devoted to seeing God's kingdom come. I'm devoted to seeing that situation changed for the glory of God." Being devoted is sacrificial in nature. It's also an investment in your relationship with God and in His difference that He can make in other people's lives. You know, we're called to pray for those who have no voice. And we're called to stand in the gap for those who don't know how good God is. The amazing thing is that God will answer prayer on behalf of those who don't yet know Him. We don't need to fill in all the forms. We don't need to get everything right and everything sorted. But God will reveal Himself in answers to prayer to people, to draw them close, to bring them to that place of faith, to prove that He is real, that He loves them, that He is for them, that He is with them. And we can be a part of that as we devote ourselves to prayer. So who or what are you devoted to? In your day and in your week, how do you prove your devotion to God and devotion to God in prayer? I was trying to break it down as I was thinking this week. We've got 24 hours in a day. They say 8 hours sleep. That would be nice to aspire to, wouldn't it? 8 hours sleep, they say 8 hours work. Maybe a lot more than that. Working it out, maybe 2 hours a day that we would spend eating meals, in terms of preparing, eating, tidying up. Maybe in journeying in across the city, you maybe get an hour's travel each day, maybe some less, some more. You know, and totting that up, 8 hours sleep, 8 hours work, 2 hours food, 1 hour travel, I make that 19 hours out of my day, which means you get 5 hours left. So what are we going to do? In those 5 hours, we're to be social, we're to be spiritual, we're to study. We're to do the chores, take care of children. We're to be in Candy Crush and all those kind of social media and little things that will take up our time. But in it all, we've got time to devote ourselves to prayer. It was Bill Hybels that wrote the book, Too Busy Not to Pray. And we could say, "oh, I've got this going on, that going on, this situation, that situation." Listen, if we can devote ourselves to prayer, we will maximize every God opportunity. If we can devote ourselves to prayer, then prayer, mission, relationships all of a sudden get taken to another level. But it's not just my words, my thoughts. What did Jesus have to say on the prayer issue? Why don't you turn to Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. One day Jesus was praying. He was praying in a certain place. And when he'd finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you is a friend, and he goes to him at midnight, and he says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside says, "Don't bother me. And the door is already locked and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who seek him?" Passage, there's so much that's in there. So many things that's in there. It's that desire of the disciple to come to Jesus and say, "Would you teach me to pray?" That's a good prayer to pray in and of itself. If you're sitting there and saying, "I've got no idea how to become devoted to prayer," then say, "Jesus, teach me to pray." If you've got no idea how to pray, then pray the Lord's Prayer. It may sound formal, it may sound ritual, but do you know what? You're praying the words of Jesus. It will do you good. It will inspire your thoughts into other things about God. Even in the first verse there of that Lord's Prayer, saying you're thinking about God as your Father, you're thinking about His holiness, you're thinking about His kingdom coming and what that means, and you're beginning in prayer to begin to apply them into your situation. You're talking about His provision, you're talking about His forgiveness, you're talking about your forgiveness into other people's lives. Ouch. You're talking about praying, "God, would you keep me in the narrow path? Would you keep me in the narrow way and away from temptation that would want to drag me away from the things of God?" And then he goes on to talk about this little parable about somebody coming to your house at midnight. Would they get in your house at midnight? Would you give them bread? It's more about the individual who comes, their boldness, their perseverance, that reveals something of the Father's devotion towards us. And as we devote ourselves to prayer, we find something of the Father's devotion that is actually towards us. And that God, who is in heaven, answers prayer. It also reveals to us the ultimate expressions of the Father's love and commitment to us. In that, number one, that he gave his Son. In John chapter 3 and 16, we started our service of me praying, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And here in this passage that as Luke writes it and records the words of Jesus, speaking of the depth of the Father's love, the Father's commitment, is that he talks about asking, seeking, and knocking. And our good Father who's in heaven, who even though his children might be evil, will still give good gifts to them. Summed up in the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the Father's love and the Father's commitment that's revealed through our persistence in prayer is that Jesus, His Son, and also the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you don't believe me yet, then flick forward another couple of pages in your Bible to Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 11. Luke really wants to get his readers to understand what it is to pray and what it is to be persistent in prayer, what it is to be earnest and steadfast and not give up in the things of prayer. Luke 18, verses 1 to 11 says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." Nudge the person next to you and say, "I'm going to always pray and not give up." I'm not hearing it yet, church. Come on. We need to encourage ourselves in this. If you don't encourage yourself and encourage the person next to you, then how can we expect to allow the Holy Spirit to stir us in these areas? I'm going to pray. I'm going to always pray, and I'm not going to give up. Maybe there's something that you've been praying for, and right now you're feeling weary, you're feeling tired, you're feeling maybe even fed up that heaven hasn't answered. And there's a wee encouragement from heaven this morning that says, keep on being devoted in prayer. Don't give up. Be persistent in prayer. Be earnest. You know, persevere. Endure in this thing called prayer. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming." And the Lord says, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" There is something about enduring. There is something about persevering. There is something about holding on in prayer here, about not giving up, about not letting go. Even though the circumstances may look bleak, even though the things around about you, if you're looking at them just at a temporal eye, you may see no way out, and it might not be very good looking. The encouragement of Scripture, the encouragement of Jesus, the encouragement of Luke as he writes this is, persevere. Keep on knocking. Keep on asking. Keep on holding on in this thing of prayer. Probably about a month or so ago, but actually it was more than that, it was before Christmas. I was in my car and I had to have an appointment. I was down in Leith. And from that appointment in Leith, I then had to head down to Ocean Terminal. And from Ocean Terminal, then I had to call in at the Gyle. And I get in my car at Leith and began to drive. And I pulled up to traffic lights. And I could hear this faint noise. That's strange. Traffic lights, or maybe there's a cat or something around about. So I drive and I park up at Ocean Terminal. Get out of the car and I go to walk away from it. And I hear this. I'm down, I'm on my hands and knees, I'm crouching in at wheel arches, looking to see, is there something around about? I can't see anything, can't find anything. Half an hour later, back in the car, drives to the Gyle and stop, come up through Granton and set of traffic lights, and I'm hearing another noise. What on earth is this? Ah, it must be me. Figment my imagination. Drive on, pull in at Gyle, good to get out to the car, and all of a sudden I'm hearing it again. Slightly more frantic, maybe going up a pitch. Oh, what is it? Again, I'm on my hands and knees, I'm looking into the wheel arches and stuff like that, and thinking, oh, please no. And then I can't see anything. Maybe there's been a wee cat that's been in my wheel arch, it's been holding on to to the axle of the car. And now I've stopped and it's gone, it's away, and I go to walk away and I hear it again. And now I'm circling the car right now, I'm kind of listening. I come to the front passenger side. It's in the bonnet. I open the bonnet and they're looking at me, persevering. Enduring, holding on and not letting go, sitting on top of the battery cover as this wee cat with the eyes wide and going, meow, meow, and shoots off. Church, we need to endure. We need to persevere in prayer. We need to be devoted and holding on, because if we don't hold on in prayer, what are we going to do? Who are we going to go to? Who are we going to turn to? We need to be like that little moggy in my bonnet. We need to be holding on in the things of prayer. Devote yourself to prayer. Your job, your role, your responsibility. Now, as leaders of the church, it's our job to pray for you. But primarily, the job and responsibility of prayer and your relationship with Jesus, your relationship with Father God, is your responsibility. You need to be doing it. You need to be devoted. You need to be holding on. As you ask, as you seek, as you knock, you will receive. Church, do not give up. Endure. Be persistent in prayer. Keep on asking. Keep on asking. Keep on asking. Be earnest. Be steadfast. Don't grow weary. Don't grow tired. Devote yourselves to prayer. You see, in prayer we meet with the Lord. In prayer we hear His voice. In prayer we encounter His presence. In prayer we lay down our burdens. In prayer we bring the things that's on our hearts. In prayer, when it feels as though there's no one who understands, we can go to one who understands. In prayer, when we feel as though everybody around us in the world where there's no one who cares, we know that we can go to one who cares for us. One who is devoted to us already. And have you noticed that you become like those you spend time with? Influence. It can be for good or it can be bad, depending on who your circle of peers is. But it's the same as we spend time being devoted in prayer. We become like the one we spend time with. It does us good to be devoted in prayer. Whether it's global that we're praying, whether it's local that we're praying, whether it's in private situations in our heart, whether it's our personal time of prayer in our house, or some folks, they go for a walk, or they have the place that they go to where they meet with God and pray. Whether it's in corporate gatherings like church times, the invitation to us from heaven is to be devoted in prayer. Remember last week when I was talking about these verses from Colossians 4, verses 2 to 6, and what it is to maximize, I said that it's both invitational and it's aspirational. Because there's an invitation from heaven into our hearts, but then we need to rise to the challenge, rise to the opportunity, rise to the invitation that Father God gives us in that. And you know, today is the first day of the rest of your lives. So there's no point saying, oh, I'm rubbish at praying. There's no point saying, oh, I'm no good at praying. Today is a new day. And His mercies are new every morning. You know, you can begin to look at your life. You can begin to look at your situation. You can begin to say, God, I'm going to allow You to touch and change and transform my pattern of thinking as I'm in Your presence. And your first point of prayer may just be to sit and wait in God. Your first entry point into prayer may actually be just to switch the phone off. Switch your laptop off. Switch your tablet off. Switch the TV off. And sit in a chair. And say, okay, God, I'm going to make this next 5 or 10 minutes Your time. And go from that point. Now, the good news is that if we don't feel so great at prayer, that we've got a great high priest who's praying and interceding for us. You might want to flick in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 to 28. That's Hebrews chapter 7, 23 to 28. And in Hebrews, this section in Hebrews, the writer to Hebrews is talking about Jesus being like Melchizedek, this high priest. This king of the Old Testament that has this kingly, priestly role that is in Salem, or what we call Jerusalem today, who almost steps into time. It doesn't provide his lineage in the Old Testament or anything like that. It doesn't have, you know, it just talks about him being this priest and this king. And the writer to Hebrews likens Jesus to being like Melchizedek. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 23, says, now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, He is a permanent priesthood. Therefore, He is able to save completely those who come to God through Him, because He always lives to intercede for them. See, Jesus is devoted to praying for you. That was an opportunity for amen. Such a high priest meets our need. There's another opportunity for amen. You get needs this morning. Our high priest in heaven can meet our needs. His name's Jesus. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. And if we put our trust in Him, He saves us completely. And He lives to intercede for you. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from heavens, exalted above the heavens. This is our Lord, this is our Savior, this is our friend, this is our King, this is Jesus. And unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins, then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once and for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priest men who are weak, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son who has been made perfect forever. He is not weak. He is Jesus. He is able to save. He is Jesus. He is able to intercede for you before his Father in the throne in heaven because he is Jesus. He is able to rescue you. He is able to transform you. He stands before his Father in heaven so that your prayers might be answered, so that your prayers might be heard, so that his difference might be made in your life, in the lives of the other people that you're praying and being devoted to prayer for. Church, this is our Jesus. This is our high priest. When we are weak, then, and in our weakness, his power is made perfect. When you feel you can't pray, when you feel that you're undevoted, when you feel that you're just perhaps at that little cap beginning to let go of the battery of my car and beginning to, you know, slip away, that you're going to hold on. You're going to keep on asking, you're going to keep on seeking, you're going to keep on knocking because you've got a high priest who believes in you, who is for you, and who prays and intercedes because he is devoted to bringing Father God's heart into your life, Father God's will into your life. So devotion and prayer becomes actually our response to the one who is already devoted to us. To those that we care for those needs that we carry, that we bring them to the foot of the cross and we offer them to our Savior, our great high priest, Jesus. To the one who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we could ever ask or imagine. Church, be devoted to prayer, but pray prayers with faith. Ask him for the gift of faith to believe in those situations. Hold on when you don't see the answers. Believing in God's timing. Believing in God's will that is best in your situation. As it's devote yourself to prayer. We do need to commit. We do need to come. We do need to call on his name in prayer. This morning, church, what is your response? This morning, church, what does being committed and devoted to prayer look like? And not even what does it look like, what is it going to look like? What is coming to the Lord in prayer going to look like in your life? What's calling on his name going to look like in your life? Devote yourself to prayer. Here's a couple of wee practical things just to help you do it. And then we're maybe going to spend a little time devoting ourselves to prayer and engaging and praying into those situations, praying for ourselves in a little moment. Number one is prayer time. You need to diary it to do it. If you don't plan it, something else is going to take up its time. Already this week, as I was talking about those 24 hours a day and breaking them down, you're thinking, but I've got this, I've got that, I've got the next thing. Listen, we need to devote ourselves to prayer. It means prioritizing it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We need to prioritize. Diary it. When you go home today, get out your diary, whether it's a physical paper diary, or whether it's your planner on your phone, get it out and say, I'm going to carve out some time for prayer. It might be first thing in the morning. It might be last thing at night. It might be at lunchtime. It might be before your evening meal. It might be after your evening meal. It might be just as soon as the kids go to bed. You carve out some time and say, I'm going to devote this time to prayer. If you don't diary it, you won't do it. Get a prayer list. Again, it might sound a little bit rote, but you write down the things that you want to pray for. Don't forget. You know, if you write it down, you'll not forget. Some of us who begin to get slightly older, we find that we think of things that we need to do and want to do, and then as soon as it goes in, it kind of, you know, it escapes out of our head, and probably at 2 or 3 in the morning, we think, oh, that thing that I was supposed to do. Write it down. Get a to-do list in prayer. Have a prayer pause in your time where you can stop and you can hear God. So it's not just us bringing our list. We're saying, Lord, what do you want to say? What do you want to speak into my life, into my situation? Is there a scripture you want to remind me of? Is there a picture of your love that you want to impress upon me? Is there, you know, I'm praying for this next step, for doors to open. What's that going to look like? Something perhaps prophetic. You want to hear God. Get yourself a prayer pad, a journal, a book that you can write down God's thoughts to you so that you don't forget them, so that you can hold on to them, so that when you become weary, when it becomes tired, when you become difficult, when it becomes that situation that you're holding on and you're not letting go in the things of God, you're reminding yourself, you're strengthening yourself, you're allowing the Holy Spirit to bring to your remembrance the things that you're asking, seeking, and knocking, that you're reminding the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God, the blessings of God, all that He's done in your life. Get that prayer pad. Get a prayer pen that you can tick off the answers, that you can write down God's responses into the prayers, into situations, as you see answers from heaven beginning to come. Or maybe you see those times of having to wait and persevere and being devoted in prayer and seeing God's outcome into those situations. But those ticking off of answers in prayer, they're useful because in times when you're having to hold on, you're having to be earnest, you're having to be persevering, you're having to be devoted in prayer, and you're not seeing answers to prayer, and the enemy wants to whisper in your ear and say, God doesn't answer prayer, God's forgotten you. That you can flick back and see those big ticks that's there of God answered that prayer. God came through for me. God answered that prayer. And your faith is stirred and energized once again, saying God hasn't forgotten. God's still in the process of answering prayer. And I think most importantly this morning, church, that you get prayer persistence. Don't stop till you receive His answer. Now, the answer might not be the one that you want to hear. It's the will of God. It's not our will being forced on God. But don't stop till you hear His answer. Be persistent. So prayer time, prayer list, prayer pause, prayer pad, prayer pen, prayer persistence. Devote yourselves to prayer. We're going to do it now. We're going to come, we're going to bow our heads in prayer. Luke, would you maybe want to come back? Worship team, would you like to come back?